We're having brunch with Alan P today. A husband, a father, a creative, not the artist, but the art. A man focused on living a life that can lead people to the one who leads his life. The true artist, Jesus Christ himself. Mr. Letlhogonolo, Alan P. Pule. How are you doing, my brother?
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. That was beautiful. I didn't even give you all that. Where do you get that?
Listen, I feel like the FBI should hire me.
Yeah, like that was beautiful. That summed it all up. I'm good. And nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah.
Shucks, man. Look, I remember I was first introduced to your music through Impact Radio.
Cool.
Through this specific song, New Day, right? I was listening to it and I decided to do my FBI, you know, skills, use them.
Yeah.
Went into your Instagram and I just found some beautiful content.
Hey.
And I just felt like I need to have you here. I need to have the chat.
Yeah.
Find out your story, who you are, what you do.
Yes.
And you have a very beautiful and different sound compared to what we do here.
Yeah. thank you for that. Thank you for checking my stuff out. And I think it's important to be ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think my sound is just me being myself. I'm not trying to do what's trending or what's popping or what's happening out there. What you hear there, that's who I really am.
Yeah.
That's me, yeah.
Yeah, and before we get lost into your music, information about your story.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some listeners who don't even know who you are.
Yes.
Right? And I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us who Alan P is. Also, the story behind how you spell Alan P.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, my name is Letlhogonolo Pule, right? That's my name. And Alan P comes from the L of Letlhogonolo and P Pule. And then I made up a name, Alan P.
I thought that was your second name.
No. I do not have. That's not my second name. That's my stage name.
Okay.
So when you go Alan, I don't want people to go L and P.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So so Alan P, kind of like. Marshall Mathers, Eminem, you know, LNP, and LNP, it's a name. So that's my name, and I'm from Kagiso, Krugersdorp. Born and raised, husband of one wife.
I love that you made a point.
No. In our country, you gotta make it clear. Because there, you can have, I don't wanna go there. I've been married for 9 years.
Wow.
To one wife, and we are happily married. It feels like we've been married for only a year.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. She's listening. Hi, baby. That's my song.
Yes, I'm playing it in the background.
Okay. And been married for 9 years. Love the Lord. I just want to make Jesus popular.
Oh, man, that's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that's it.
Also, this song,
yes.
New Day.
Yes.
Tell me the story about it.
Okay, so I do not remember what was going on in my life when I wrote New Day. I do not recall, but I know that I was home with my son when I came up with the melody of the song and how, like, it just dropped in my spirit, I guess. And so I recorded the song, I did the song, and I was like, man, this song is beautiful, right? But it needs something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So, cut the long story short, there was a point in my life, I think it was 2020. Yes, I wrote the song in 2020.
Wow.
In the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I wrote the song. And it was tough times. We were locked down, no finances. I mean, everybody was affected by this pandemic. And I didn't write the song because of the pandemic. I had started writing the song before we got into the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think. And in 2020, my wife and I went through a lot. We had to move out from where we were, move to a different place, had to leave the church that we were attending. And we felt like, we felt alone. And we felt like nobody was on our side and it was just us. And I remember I drove home that day, and I was to my mother's house, and I was there with my mom, my brother, my sister, and my niece and nephew, and my son, and we just started playing the song. I was like, you know what, I'm going to record this, because I was playing the song so that they can hear the song and tell me what they think, and then in the end, we just started singing, and in the song, at the end of the song, that's them singing.
Oh.
And, oh, I was crying after that because I was like, oh, I have my family. My family, that's, right? That sound reminds me that my family is on my side.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was like a great moment in my life and my career, basically, yeah.
Shucks. No, that's a big, wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. I've always wondered, those voices in the end, I'm like, did he sample those from somewhere?
Yeah, no. That audio was recorded when we were at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mom was singing, my niece, my nephew, my son, my wife, my sister, my brother. And as I'm thinking about it now, I'm reminded of that day and how I felt. And
yeah.
I think the feeling is in the song itself.
Yeah. No, you can feel, you know, the family situation, yes. The closeness in that song.
Yes.
No, it's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, man.
The next song that I want to talk about.
Yes.
Tell us about it, where you were when you wrote the song.
Okay.
What it's about. The song that's coming up is Your Word.
Ooh, okay.
Tell me about that.
Your Word, I just made the beat. I produced the beat first.
So you don't just sing or rap.
No, even New Day, I produced that.
Ah.
Yeah, and actually my album Love Struck, I produced everything on that album. I recorded everything,
wow.
Mixed everything, mastered everything. And Your Word was one of those where I produced it, and I just liked the vibe.
Mm.
And I just wanted to talk about God's Word and how it impacts my life.
Yeah. We are still talking about your music.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying your music. I think I came across a video.
Okay.
Where you linked one of these old school gospel songs.
Ah, yes.
You're sitting on a chair there.
Okay.
Kind of, what's that song?
You talking about...
Is it Smile?
The one where I'm sitting on the chair is not Smile. That's the one... wait, I'll tell you now, actually.
I'll find it. But
okay.
While I find it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So there's a segment that you do on your Instagram called Word Wednesday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So in the book of Jude, right, Judah challenges the church to contend for the faith and
yes.
stay faithful to God.
Yes.
And the book of Jude refutes corrupt teachers and encourages godly living, as we know.
Yes.
And reminding us as Jesus' followers to live lives that indicate what we truly believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you have this feature called Word Wednesday.
Yes.
Where
I
you
do.
Share on the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
Tell me more about that and basically challenge us. You basically challenging us there, you know.
Yeah,
it's not just.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Word Wednesday is my baby, man. That's.
Mm.
I started doing Word Wednesdays in 2017. And when I started doing them, there was no motive behind them. There was no ulterior motive or to be something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It was just. A tool that I saw that I can use to tell people about Jesus and
yeah.
and help young people my age at the time, to find interest in scripture.
Mm.
Because you'd find, like, in church, young people are not really interested in the holy book
yeah.
as much as the older people. And there are so many dope stuff, incredible things in this holy book that we can get as young people. So I started Word Wednesday and it was a coincidence when I started it. I was at work and I was reading the scriptures and a revelation dropped in my spirit. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should share this on Facebook. And I recorded myself with my phone, short clip. I think it was like a minute, and I shared it and I saw the impact that it did.
Mm.
I was like, oh, okay. And that it was a Wednesday. It happened to be a Wednesday.
Sad.
So I just, Word Wednesday. And I released it. I still have the clip and I released it and I was like, oh, okay, this could be a thing. Then the following Wednesday I did it. And then the following Wednesday. So I did it for like 2 years and then the pandemic hit. I think that's when I stopped and then I never came back. I just did it in form of graphics.
Mm.
And then this year, I think it was April, I started Word Wednesdays again. And let me tell you something. God is doing some stuff with those Word Wednesdays. I think on TikTok is where people are really watching them and people are being impacted by them and people are being touched by them. And people are like, dude, please don't stop these Word Wednesdays. I don't want to start a church or anything. That's not my motive. I just want to share the Word of God online with young people. That's all I want to do.
No, that's amazing. I love how you unapologetically do.
Yes.
Like you're very, and also your consistency.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think Jesus was unapologetic.
That's true.
Jesus was offensive.
That is so true.
He would, yes, he would say things that when you read now, yes, it's all nice. And but think about it if you were, I mean, he told a woman that she was a dog.
Right.
When that lady came and said, you know, my daughter is sick. I need you to come, something like that. And Jesus was like, I'm not going to take the bread of the children to give it to the dogs. He basically called her a dog. So Jesus was very offensive. Jesus stood for what he believed in.
Yeah.
And we are called to model Christ. We are called to follow Christ as our role model here on earth. Mm. We are called to be Christ here on earth for those that might not see Jesus or hear about him. We are supposed to represent him to them.
That is true.
So if we are going to preach, if we are going to do music, if we are going to do poetry, whatever that we do, that's what Paul said. I think it's Colossians. Whatever that we do, do it unto the glory of God. Make sure that you are unapologetic with it.
Yeah.
Do not hold back.
100%. Shucks,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. And in your unapologeticness of sharing Word Wednesdays, right?
Yes.
There's a song I came across called Be Me.
Yes.
That song, shucks, man. Look, yes. the tune there, listen, the vibe there on that song is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Something I want to ask.
Yes.
See the artwork.
Yes.
I see that you are a graphic designer.
Yes, I am.
The artwork there.
Yes.
Tell me about that. The flowers coming out of your face.
Yes. Okay, so I designed the artwork. I've been intrigued by that type of a style in graphic design where you can take like flowers and make them come out of a person and things like that. And I was like, this could be a great concept for an upcoming project or my single. And Be Me is basically a song where I talk about the day I found myself is the day, or let me put it this way, the day I was happy with being myself is the day I fully understood how God sees me.
Yeah.
Because it's in on authenticity that we begin to understand Christ. And when the Bible talks about us approaching Christ, it talks about us being authentic with him, being real with him. And this song, basically, I just want to be authentic and love me. And I think, not to go too much into the song, but I struggled with being okay with me and loving me. And the scripture is clear that in order to love others, you need to love yourself. So love others as you love yourself. So
before we get into more about your music, right, I want to go back. I want to go back in time. I want to, you know, talk about the young Alan, where it all started, right?
Sheesh, okay.
Yes. Before we get into that, I had a conversation with a friend of mine this past week.
Okay.
And he, well, yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, passion, a passion that God has put in your heart and things that you end up following.
Okay.
And, you know, trusting him to be the one that sets the path and not necessarily doing it under your own might.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he mentioned that, you know, one of his biggest love was DJing. And,
okay.
But because, you know, our black parents sometimes are strict with...
DJ.
You understand? Yeah, they don't understand that it can be sustainable as long as you just push hard, you know, and focus, like be consistent in what you do.
Yes.
And I want to know about you. When did it all start for you? When did you realize that this is the one? This is the dream?
Ah, okay. So I think like I said, I doubted myself a lot. I didn't really like myself much, right? So growing up, I grew up in a family that were very musical.
Mm.
My dad was used to sing. I think he still does. if you're listening, I don't want... it's not shade.
You think?
Yeah, I think he still does. actually, he does. My mom used to sing, and she used to be part of the church choir.
Mm.
I grew up watching my dad play drums in the church, and my brother was the one singing and rendering items at the church. Yeah, and I was not that guy. So one time, my brother called me. I think I was 10. He's like, I want you to sing with me. I'm like, dude, that's not what I do.
Mm.
And we practiced the song, and then we sang it in church, and then people came to me like, dude, you can really sing. I'm like,
shucks.
Ah, That's a lie. and then quite a few more people kept telling me the same. And then at 11, I started writing my first raps.
Wow.
So I started writing raps first. I didn't like singing much because I wasn't confident with my singing. Mm. And that's where it started, where I always had a thing for music.
Yeah.
But I never thought that I would do music as like it would be a thing. I never thought that. I loved drawing and creativity. That hence I'm a graphic designer by profession.
Yeah.
But the music was a thing that really it kept following me. I don't know how to say that. Like my parents were into it. My brother was into it. Even my little sister now is also into it. And basically, yeah, it started when I was 11 when I discovered that I can sing, 10, 11. And then in 2005, my dad got me lessons on how to play the keyboard. And after that, yeah, no.
It was in game.
Yeah, because that was like, yo, oh, I can do this as well. Wow, I can do that as well. And from there, we started experimenting with music and all that stuff.
Wow.
And yeah, now we're here.
And God never failed you.
Yeah, and God, yo, and I think the key thing there is that church was where I discovered my talents. Church was where I discovered my gifts. Church is where I got an opportunity. Church was the place. There was a gala event at that one church. I think I was 13, and they asked me to play for the children's church because my friend had told them that I can play.
Don't roll your eyes.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. That guy knew that I was not ready. And I was not confident with that. He's like, no, this guy will play. And there was a song called Soweto Funk that time. I sound old. The Soweto Funk has one tune, and I knew how to play that tune. And then the band would play with me. And after that, they were like, you must play in church. And I was the youngest player in the choir, and I started growing after that. And yeah, church is where I discovered my gifts.
Yeah.
I want to remain there in the church.
Mm.
Yeah, that's where.
Beautiful is it that in the time that you felt like you're not ready,
yes,
God saw it fit for you to be ready.
Right?
Mm.
And I think I got to thank my friend for that as well. Because he put me on the spot, man. I didn't want to do that.
Mm.
As much as I think I'm an extrovert and I'm outgoing, but I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I thank that guy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get that. There's a sense of vulnerability, you know, because as much as you're an extrovert, you're putting something that's in you out there for everyone to see and judge and experience.
Exactly.
So I get that. I get that. And it's taking me now to the song that you have called Can't Fail Me Now.
Ooh.
Looking at your journey, everything that's happened.
Yeah.
Tell me about this song.
That I didn't write that song.
Ah.
I freestyled that song.
You're giving me ideas.
So I made the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was driving, trying to come up with the ideas for the song. And whenever I'm singing to my songs, I put the recorder on because I don't know what I might say. So I think let me put it this way. I didn't write the whole song.
Mm.
The second verse is the one where I did some writing, and
but
the first verse was entirely from my head. And how the song came about was the melody. That's what came first. And then while I was walking, I think I was walking home, then the hook came. You can't fail me now. You can't fail. And I was like, oh, it would be dope if I put a hand claps in there. And then it was just a creative. Maybe I should try this.
Yeah.
And the song, I think that's the song that people want to hear whenever I go to do events or perform somewhere, because people can relate that people are going through the most. We just came out of a pandemic. Are we still in a pandemic? I'm not sure.
I mean, apparently we're out, but you know.
But it's there, but it's not there.
You know,
something like.
I mean, the masks are off, so.
Yeah, the masks are off, which is we must get to it, get used to it. But we just been in a pandemic.
Mm.
Things are starting to pick up, and people still want to feel encouraged.
Yeah.
They still want to feel like Jesus is on their side, and that's what that song represents.
So it's important that in our daily lives, we never cease to trust God, even when the odds are against us. even when situation does not agree with us. Because there are some situations that make us to doubt God. But in the midst of that, we have to remain steadfast in our trust. Our trust must be constant. We must be constantly trusting God. Because the Bible says, they that trust in God, they shall be like Mount Zion, that will never be shaken. It means when we trust God, nothing will shake us.
Some very powerful words right there at the end of the song. That was Can't Fail Me Now by Alan P. Alan, yes. Before we continue on with the interview, I need to know about the song, the ending of the song.
Oh, man. The ending of the song, that's my dad. That's my dad at the end of that song, and I hijacked him, basically. in a nice way. So I asked him on WhatsApp, I was like, man, what does it mean to trust God to you? Like, what does it mean to, when you say, I trust in God, what does that mean to you? And then he sent me that voice note. And then he basically started encouraging me, but he didn't know that he was going to wind up in an album, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the one. And I edited it in the song.
So that was the defining factor for the song.
Yes, and then I released it without telling him. And then I was like, what do you think of the album? Like, Tori, it's nice, eh? Like, what do you think of track number 4, which is Can't Feel Me Now?
He's
like, oh, the one where you featured me. I'm like... I'm like, that one. I'll give you a royalty. That one. He's like, it's very nice.
It's very nice.
I like that one. Oh, of course you do.
I mean, of course. You are there.
So that's that track, man. Love that song. Everywhere I sing that song, people love it. People celebrate it. People enjoy the message that it brings. Yeah.
So earlier, while this song was playing, I asked you a question about your favorite song. And you tell me that you have a favorite song of all your songs. And that actually really did blow my mind, because I never knew artists had a favorite song from all the songs that they've released. Because every song has a piece of you, right?
Yes, that is so true. That's true. Every song has a piece of you, 100%. Because when I think of a certain song, it reminds me of a certain moment in my life, and it reminds me of an experience maybe or that I went through. But this particular one, my favorite song is Your Will. From my album Love Struck. Go stream it wherever you are, everywhere. Go stream it everywhere on Spotify and all these other spots. Yes, Your Will. So that's my favorite song. And it speaks, basically I'm talking to God, and I'm telling him that I just want to do your will. With everything that I do, with being a husband, with being a father, with being a graphic designer, with being a musician, an artist, whatever, I want to do your will. Whatever your will is for me, in every area that I'm active, I want to do your will. If I'm in the workplace and I work with people that are not Christians, that are not born again, I want to do your will. So that's why that song is... The mess every time I listen to that song, I'm like, I want to do it. Yeah, it hits home.
Shucks.
For
like real. Hearing this, right, took me to the scripture of Colossians 1 verse 16 that says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers and authorities. All things were created through him and for him.
Exactly.
Therefore, his will.
Yes.
Listen, it should come. It shouldn't be something that we struggle to need from him.
Yes,
it's something that we need to thrive for.
Yes, and it's something that if you have prayer points, it should be there at the top, because you don't want to be caught up doing something for 10 years and it wasn't his will.
Oh.
Imagine you have 25 years doing your own will, fulfilling your own will, fulfilling your own desires, and not his desires. That's not a life worth living.
And you get to heaven, he says, what have you done with this time?
Okay, I gave you this life and you just did your own thing.
Oh.
So I think with me, is I just want to do what he wants me to do. Hence my mantra is, I'm not the artist, I'm the art. I want to be used by... by him for whatever that he wants me to do. I want to do that. I don't want to do my own thing. If tomorrow he says, okay, leave this music thing, maybe you should just focus on Word Wednesday. Cool. Leave Word Wednesday. Maybe you should just go serve in this church, and there you must wash the toilets every day for 5 years. Okay. Cool.
Wow.
Not why, Lord, but me, toilets. I'm supposed to be on stage. No, that's what I want from you, because it's in fulfilling his will that we fulfill purpose. And we find ourselves in fulfilling purpose. Right. So our young people struggle to find, why am I here? Why am I on this earth? Why? What is my gift? Well, start with giving your life to Christ, making him Lord and Savior of your life. Let him lead your life, and then do whatever he wants you to do. You'll be good.
It's difficult, but it's easy.
Oh, yeah. It's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. Listen, we live in a world where culture and social media encourage you to do your own thing. Do you. Get the bag. Whatever makes you happy, whatever fulfills you, do that. But that's not what Scripture says.
Scripture's
not that.
Sometimes doing what makes you happy is against, it could be against his will.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. In most cases. I mean, the stuff that Paul spoke about when he says people that do these things won't inherit the kingdom of heaven are things that would make us happy.
Yo, that is
so
true.
That is the worst advice and the greatest advice at the same time. Go do whatever makes you happy. No, do whatever makes him happy. Do whatever makes the one who created you happy.
And I think that's where we find the difference between happiness and joy. Because whatever makes you happy is just temporary feelings.
Yes.
Whereas the joy, even through the struggles,
yes,
is long lost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, preach.
Man.
Preacher, we'll preach right now. Yeah, you're right. So that's that. I think that, you see, that's why that song is my favorite.
Yeah.
Look how we just started expanding it and started talking about different things. And that's why I love that song.
So as a follower of Christ,
yes,
you have a song called
Followers of Christ.
Tell me about that.
Ooh, I did a Word Wednesday. I'll start with that. The Word Wednesday came after, but I'll start with that. I did a Word Wednesday where I spoke about being the light. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. But all I see is Christians hiding.
Yes.
You are in your circle. Your of friends or colleagues, they don't even know that you are born again. They don't even know that you love the Lord. We hide our love for Christ, and we hide our the one we pledge allegiance to. We are in hiding. And the Bible says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And if your light is shining, oh, they're gonna see it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Peter denied Christ and tried to hide amongst the people. And they were like, aren't you? Aren't you the dude? No, it's not me. Are you sure? You sliced somebody's ear off. Now.
For him.
Are you sure? No, it's not me. And the thing is with that is that when you have spent time in close proximity to Christ, oh, you smell like him.
Yeah.
Oh, you smell that. That's all you are. You are a disciple of Christ. And those around you will tell. So the more you hide it, the more they see that, no, man, there's something about you, but you hide it. You don't want us to see it. The Bible says that the creation groans in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed.
Preach.
Right? And how do we become revealed? When we start acknowledging that we are light.
That is true.
We are not called to be liked. We are called to be light. And the more we want to be liked by the world, and Jesus said the world will hate you. Oh, yeah. They will hate you.
Yeah.
They hated me first. They will definitely hate you. And we should stop trying to get the world to like us. We're not called here to be liked. And now we find Christians that do things so that the world can like them. Hey, what do you think about this topic? nah, you know, we don't want to say much, you know, we don't want to offend people. No, they just asked you a simple question. What does the word say about that question?
Right.
Answer the question. Simple. So the song is supposed to be an anthem for every Christ follower that wants to wear it on their sleeve and make me wear it across their chest that I am a follower of Christ and I'm not ashamed.
Before we say goodbye, I feel like it was a short time. You need to come back.
Yes, yes, it definitely was.
Before we say goodbye, I want to do word association with you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a word, a random word, and I need you to either sing a song or do a whole four bars for me there. I want to test your skills here to see, because you've freestyled one song, you've told us.
Hey.
So, are you ready?
I'm not. Let's do it.
Three. Okay, wait. The word is restoration.
Ah.
Is it that hard?
My gosh. Ah, okay. Man. Next word.
Revival.
Okay. That I can probably do.
Okay.
Wait. Let me think. Give me 10 seconds.
Okay, let me give you 10 seconds. While you think, feel free, guys, to go search for his music on all the music streaming sites, iTunes, Spotify, every single one of them that you can think of is definitely there. Check his information, his pictures, his videos, his content on his Instagram page, his TikTok page, as well as his Facebook page. On Instagram, his im_ellen.p. TikTok is?
Same.
Yeah. As well as Facebook is different.
Facebook, my page, yes. And then you can either follow me at Letlhogonolo Pule.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's at @i_ellen.p.
Perfection.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So the word revival, I just see that in isiZulu is imvuselelo, right?
Ah, yes.
So I'll just sing that song. I'll sing. Okay.
Don't be scared.
Okay. Sivuselele Nkosi Jesu. Sivuselele. Amen. Sivuselele Nkosi Jesu, revive us again.
Well done. That was amazing.
I cheated, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you really did.
I did cheat.
But you know what, Alan, thank you so much for gracing me with your presence.
Thank you
for the chat.
Man,
it was absolutely amazing. I definitely need you to come back. We still have a lot more to talk about.
Awesome.